Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 137. Psalm 137. We'll begin reading verse 1. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required us of us mirth, saying, Sing one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." Now, this psalm was written speaking of the children of Israel as they were carried away captive when Jerusalem was conquered and the Babylonians were carrying them into Babylon. Now, prior to this, they had enjoyed worship at the Temple of Solomon. It was glorious with gold, and it was just a glorious, glorious temple. It would take billions of dollars probably to build something like that today with all of the gold and all that it was and all of the worship that was established that David had set into order. And here they found themselves in a strange land, and they're being marched on into Babylon, going by temples for idol worship. And there's a strange language. They're not, eating the foods they would be used to. And everything that they enjoyed before was now gone. And it says here that they wept when they remembered what they had. Now, you've heard the expression, the good old days. You can get hung up on something of the past that you viewed as a better days than in the present. Now, things are always changing in life. And sometimes as you're moving forward in life, there's better days and there's worse days. Sometimes there's seasons that are better and seasons that are worse. But as you're aging and as you're going on, if there was a time in your life where there was something that was glorious or that was a great joy to you, and things have changed, you can allow a discouragement unto depression to begin to come into your life, which can then lead to bitterness. And it's saying here that they hung their harps on the willows as they sat down by the river. Now, the harp would be our present-day equivalent of like guitar, but stringed instruments. And really, a piano was a stringed instrument as well. And, of course, they had the musicians had carried them with them. But they didn't have it in them to sing the song of praise to the Lord anymore because they were so distraught over what they lost, or the better thing that was behind them. Now, it is important for us to always keep moving forward in life and realizing that in God, He wants to take us from glory to glory. We should not try to hang on to something of the past. Things are always changing. Appreciate whatever good was there. Appreciate that, allow it to encourage you or be a blessing to you. But we have to realize things are always changing. Sometimes things change for the worse because of the sin of someone else or the decision of someone else. If you don't let that go, bitterness can begin to come into your heart, which I'll touch on that more in a moment. But we need to realize that for us, in God, He takes us from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. That the Holy Spirit's been given to us to continue to take us into a deeper realm of partaking the fruit of the Spirit of God or the kingdom of God. That is his desire. And ultimately, it is heaven itself, where there is nothing but the presence of God. And as I was sharing last week, the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed. So we have to be able to find our pleasure in the Lord and know that as we continue pressing on in him, regardless of what's happening around us, there are greater things to be experienced in Christ in spirit. So we don't want to be like them who, when there is a bad time in our life, that we hang our harps on a willow tree, but rather, of course, willow tree, we have a couple in our yard, the branches, they hang down, just like there's a weeping cherry out front here. The branches come down, so you hang the harp onto it, and they grow by... They need a lot of water, actually, and they'll grow by streams of water. So here they are, and the Babylonians are saying, oh, sing us a song. He said, we don't have it in us. But you see, that's when you need to sing the song of the Lord more than ever. When things are not as you'd like them to be, we need to praise the Lord because he's still who he is. And he's able to bring blessing again. And he's able, maybe it won't be the same as it was, but he's able to bring an even greater blessing or bring you into something that would be a joy that's not just based on everything being just a certain way in the natural. You know, there are times people have families and families might have division or separation or rebellious children or whatever. And people get so depressed because it's not like it was where they had the joy of holding that little baby. Well, things are going to change and people are going to be subject to sin. And your darling little baby will have to make the choice between sin and righteousness, the same as we all do. And that can cause a lot of grief and sorrow, which is a part of life. But for us as believers, we can press in by faith into the kingdom of God and lay hold of joy to transcend the sorrow or grief of this life. So we don't want to be hanging our harps, and you can be having hung your harp on the willow tree and you don't even realize it, where you're not inclined to praise and rejoice like you used to. Well, today we're, along with Christians all over the world, celebrating resurrection. Now, I'm an everyday man. You know, some people's like once a year holidays, they relate with that more. And Paul brought that. That's okay. But I'm an everyday resurrection man. I want to celebrate Jesus every day because he is my source of life and joy and peace. So here they are. They're depressed. How can we sing in a strange land? And they're basically saying here, well, if I forget you, may I lose my ability to praise, to play on the instrument. If I don't remember, may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Did you ever have that happen? You know, sometimes, you know, with forced hot air heat at night, it gets a little dry. And I wake up and my tongue's like sticking to the roof of my mouth. I relate to that verse. So I keep some water by the bed, you know, and take a drink. That's kind of a very unpleasant thing. But you know, you have no ability to sing any praise or to rejoice. And hopefully none of us are in that place. But there's times you can find yourself where you've lost that joy of the Lord or the joy of your salvation. And really, we've forgotten the fact that our sins have been forgiven, removed from us, and we are raised up in newness of life. That's not strong in our mind and in our thoughts. And the thing is, if you continue to dwell in the past, you'll forget what you have in Christ in the present, and you'll lose your joy. He says, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, which was the name was changed to the tribes of Esau, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Now, they lived in the mountains outside of Jerusalem and had some jealousy there. O daughter of Babylon, who art thou to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewards thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dashes thy little ones against the stones. Well, that's pretty nasty. Oh, we'll be really happy to kill your kids and just bust their head open against a rock. Now, that's bitterness that's going to seed. You look at this. They come into this place of bondage because they wouldn't repent. The prophets were calling them to repentance. They wouldn't. They end up in bondage. They lost the glory of God. They lost the great blessing that they had. They're now in a place where they're depressed. They can't sing the song of the Lord. And because they're dwelling in the past, you see, if you think about something you've lost, you're going to look to blame someone. And then that will lead to venting anger toward them. If not outwardly, at least in your heart, you become an angry person to where that becomes a hatred and a bitterness of the soul. To the point where they say, oh, it'll be glorious just to bust your kids' heads open because you took this from us. Anything of this natural life, you can lose. You can lose it in a moment. And it doesn't have to even be your fault. It can be through the sin or choice or the rebellion of someone else. It could be circumstance. You know, it could be a tornado, a hurricane, or what have you, an earthquake. It could be the sins of people. And the thing is, we must keep our eyes on the Lord and remember what he's provided for us. There can be some things happen all at once where it's a sudden loss of something, and there's like great sudden grief. But there can also be the very gradual losing of things. And people can begin slipping into this place of losing the joy of their salvation because they're gradually just losing where they were focusing on a blessing of God in their life. Now, whether it's people, relationships, whether it's things or a lifestyle, that's all a blessing of the Lord. We must stay focused to always love the one who blessed us more than the blessing itself. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves losing our joy and ultimately becoming bitter in our soul. Many people, the way they end their life is in bitterness of the soul. Children, very young children, naturally are very joyful and happy. And they'll see a squirrel and say, "Wee! Look at the squirrel! Look at the bird!" It doesn't take much to entertain a small child, does it? But what happens is in life there are things to cause grief and sorrow. And we must continue to release that and forgive. But even on top of that, we need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord as our source of life and joy and peace and continue to sing the song of the Lord even in the midst of when you don't feel like it, lest the bitterness come in. Now, Psalm 103 is an awesome song that tells us how to handle this. This is one we're probably all familiar with. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. David, there were times he went through a lot of things that were terrible situations. and where he lost everything, and he was being sought out to be killed. And he emotionally, he was discouraged. He was distraught. But he would command his soul to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. See, this isn't just a cliche, just like a pretty song or something. He's commanding himself. I don't feel like it right now, but I'm commanding myself to bless the Lord. You see, there are times in life you have to make yourself do the right thing. Maybe for some of you, that'll be tomorrow morning when your alarm clock goes off at 6 a.m. and you don't feel like getting out of bed, but you know you need that paycheck. And you make yourself get up and go to work, right? So we do this all the time. We make ourselves do some things. And sometimes people think that, like, the things of walking with the Lord, you should always feel it. No, you make a decision to obey the Lord and walk in his commandments, to do as he commands us, the feelings will change as you do that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, not no half-hearted stuff, all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now here's what we want to remember. Remember what his redemptive works provided for us. He says, who forgives all your iniquities, not some of them, not the little ones, but all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So we remember him, what he's provided for us, in his promises. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He hath made known his way unto Moses, and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You know, if every time you sin, God had to drop a hammer on you, you would be smashed flat. He deals with us very mercifully, giving us opportunities to repent. You know, the Old Testament prophets, sometimes people, quickly their lack of not really knowing God is seen in how they interpret that. They might see, well, God was angry. No, he was calling them back to repentance for hundreds of years. He gave them so many opportunities to repent, but ultimately, judgment is the love of God. He had to judge their sin before their sin would utterly destroy them. Just as a loving parent will discipline their child, not just let them go, but discipline them, paddle them, or however their discipline's being meted out, you're going to discipline them lest that sinful behavior bring destruction to their soul. So it's love to bring that unpleasantness to their bottom end or to their flesh, lest it go on to cause greater pain later. And some people think they're loving their child by not disciplining them. You're not. You just don't have the strength or the courage to do the right thing or the wisdom to do it. Well, it says, as the heaven is far above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Now, the thoughts carried here and stated in other places that he cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember them anymore. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He'll bring up, oh, you did this, you said that. But when we repent and receive forgiveness, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and that sin is removed. God doesn't remember it anymore. So when Satan tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his past. Satan, shut up. You've been defeated. And by the way, my sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's been removed. It no longer exists. Well, as we read on down here, verse 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to them that fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to such as keep his covenant and remember his commandments to do them. We need to remember his benefits, remember his commandments, and walk in that covenant relationship. As we remember Jesus and what he's done for us, then we can set ourselves to praise him. There's always a reason to praise him. No matter what negative things around you or you're feeling, he still is who he said he is. And his resurrection, life, and power still applies to us today just the same. We are still forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness and cleansed of all sin. And we can rejoice in that. We can continue to find joy in our salvation, regardless of what's going on. There's no end to being idealistic and saying, oh, I wish things were like this or things were like that, or I remember how it used to be. We can't let ourselves go there. We have to continue looking forward, glory to glory, expecting the glory of God, praising him for who he is, and believing that regardless of what I'm going through today, that God's going to bring a manifestation of his spirit into my life. You know, we have an extreme type situation in a place like Ukraine right now where they can say it's not like it used to be. There's bombs falling all around us. We don't have peace. We don't have food. We don't have this, that, or the other. There's no end to that. But I remember like 10 years ago sitting with different pastors in Ukraine and in Russia and in a one-to-one situation, them lamenting to me saying it's not like it used to be. Because they came to the Lord in the midst of a great revival in the early 1990s, where people all over were getting saved, hearing the gospel on any level. They were getting saved, and things were changing, and there was such an excitement in the air. But what happens, as you come to the Lord, you will get blessed, and your eyes can begin to get fixed on the blessing more than the one who gave you life. And every Christian has to pass through that test. It's the ultimate test. How blessed can you be before you begin to get your eyes more on that blessing than him? And you begin to lose that joy. And I began to notice that it wasn't the same joy amongst the people. And that younger generation coming up that weren't the ones that were saved right at that time, they didn't have as much joy. And the ones who came out of that time were saying to me, it's not like it used to be. But there's people in my peer group of pastors who lament, it's not like it was back in the 1980s and 70s. The hunger for God's not like it was. The perseverance in prayer is not like it was. There's no end to that. Some people, something changed in their family. It's not like it was. But Jesus doesn't change. He's still the risen Savior today. He's still the very source of life and the joy of our salvation. And whether you feel like it or not, we command our soul, bless the Lord, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, because he still is who he is. And the God who gave me life can give life again. The God who gave me joy can renew my joy and my peace once again. And I'm releasing faith for it today. I'm going to lay hold of that life today. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. It's not for someone else to somehow bring it to you. Jesus brought that life to us. It's up to us to make that decision. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to take communion here. Jesus said, the worship team, you come up, wow. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Remember him. Remember him. Memory is a part of the soul. And our memory needs to be governed by the Word of God, just like every other aspect of our soul. Recently, I've spoken about imagination. Imagining the future is part of the soul. Your ability to reason, part of the soul. Your emotions, part of the soul. It all needs to be governed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Our will is a part of the soul. But we're dealing with memory here. We're not going to be stuck in the past. We're not going to allow grief or sorrow because some things have changed in our life where there's times of adversity that we would encounter. But we're going to remember Jesus, who is our life, who can lift us up, who raise us up above all the emotion, all the negativity, all the evil, all the things that we would be experiencing that would be negative. He can lift us up. But the Word says that if we humble ourselves under His mighty hand, His grace can lift us up. Hallelujah. So we're going to take communion today and remember our Savior Jesus. We'll begin to enter in with a worship song while the ushers would pass out the bread and the cup. Hallelujah.